So many great moments.
Oh, here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
Triple M is proud to present.
Unbelievable!
MG's Rugby League Rundown.
Back like we never left the joint. MG's Rugby League Rundown returns for 2024. Mark Geyer, welcome to you.
Good afternoon, Liam Flanagan, and welcome back from Las Vegas. Before we kick off our first for 2024, got to get your on-the-ground report. Oh. Out of 10, what was it all? What was the best thing, and what was the best thing on and off the ground?
Do you want to start with this Vegas review? Is this how you want to kick things off? Because I'm sitting here in my Raiders shirt, my Las Vegas Raiders shirt. All right, 10 out of 10, yeah. 11 out of 10. It was... I can't speak highly enough of the experience. Now, I've got to give a shout-out to my my friends at KO because they were the reason I was over there. They did a marvellous job with that first game, Manly taking on South Sydney. They had events running throughout the week, and KO, shout-out. Mm. They're incredible.
Well done.
And they've got great stuff coming up with the PGA Players Championship Golf this weekend. They got the Timmy Zoo fight on the way as well. They do great work. Here are my takeaways. You ready?
Yes.
This NRL Las Vegas adventure is going to be Peter Vallandi's greatest legacy.
Tick.
And MG, we speak so highly of this bloke.
Yeah.
And he guided the code and the sport back through COVID. He got them back on the field first. He was world's best practice when he did it. And I still think what he once this NRL Vegas adventure, once he leaves the game and moves on to something else, this will be the legacy that he holds, because I think it was a brave step and a heavily criticised step, and yet I think it's going to win. That's my first takeaway.
Yep.
Secondly, and I'm giving you my serious takeaways before I give you the fun stuff. Secondly, my other big takeaway from this is your mate and mine and Triple M burgeoning media talent, Aaron Woods.
Hmm.
I think he is going to be so important to Manly's premiership hopes this year, even if he only plays 3 or 4 games. Let me tell you a quick story on game day. This is before the first game. Now, Woodsy is our mate, right?
Yeah, of course. Woods,
and
of course.
He's a ripping fella, and he loves doing the stuff with Triple M.
He's a great bloke.
But he's also a Manly fan, and he's on a development contract right now. I think he's earning 80 grand a year or something.
Yep.
But I went up to him, and he warmed up with the team ahead of the game, and I went up to him as he'd gone down in the rooms and got back into his club polo and everything. And I went up to him just to say a quick g'day. And he didn't treat me dismissively, but he went, mate, I'll talk to you after the game. And he was straight up sitting with Brad Parker and the other non-playing players.
Yep.
Fully committed. Like, he was intent. And then I spoke to him after they'd won a bit later on that night at a club. And he is so focused, and I think he's going to be really important for Anthony Seibold in bringing leadership and experience to this team. So there's my other big takeaway. Woodsy's left a real imprint.
I think you're right. I think it's a great... you always need that old head around a young bunch of forwards, and he's exactly what they need.
Right. Here's my less serious one. Yep. Brent Reed. Two quick stories about our man Brent Reed. Firstly, after the games had been run and won, I called it a night. I was standing in the nightclub. Manly players were up there in their little booth. They were up in the winner's booth, Manly, right next to the side of stage. The South players were in the loser's booth, which was a bit further back. And Ludacris is about to come out on stage.
Oh, Ludacris.
And I was cooked. It had been a very long day. It was about 2 a.m. in the morning. And I was standing there holding a $60 American drink in my hand, thinking, I'm out. And I said, I don't even like Ludacris that much. And as I wandered back past a little takeaway joint, grabbed myself a sausage, egg and cheese just for the bedroom, I bumped into Glenn Jackson, who's the media boss at the NRL.
Yes, Jacko, yep.
Terry Reader, the CEO of the Dolphins, and Brent Reed. And I said, said, Flanners, where are you going? I said, mate, I'm going to bed. I said, what are you doing? He's going, we're going to see Ludacris. I said, Reedy, you've never been older or whiter right now.
go to bed, mate.
Then the next day we all had to fly out. And Reedy and I and some others, Laurie Daly, we're all on the same flight that got delayed leaving Vegas to get to San Francisco to get to our connecting flight into Sydney. So we ended up sprinting through the airport. And can I just say, Reedy's running days are behind him because he at one point, he got distracted as I went past him on the outside and he didn't see this woman, almost collected her, hit the deck, skin off the knee in the middle of San Francisco airport. And then as we got on the plane, he's like, oh, it's activated my arthritis. And anyway, but then my final takeaway from Vegas is that Brayton Astor is a robot. That man he was working nonstop. He was on everything for Fox Sports and Fox League. And I was having a chat with him one day. He said, I've got three or four of my best mates coming into town and they want to send it. And I saw him the next morning. He looks like he is straight off a catwalk every day. That man, I don't know. I would love to see him. I think that he's got multiple versions of himself stored away that he just wheels out. He's ridiculous. He's an incredible specimen. What was it like? Wow. What was it like back in Sydney while all this was going on?
Halfway through the second game, I kind of thought to myself, "What is this? What's happening?" I felt, and I come to the conclusion that it was a landmark day for our sport. I think that the performances of the four teams who all took it seriously, and I think that was one big reason why I think it was such a big event here in Sydney in Australia, was because the four teams didn't treat it like an oddball job. It wasn't like one of them things that you put in another country and you just take it easy on each other. They played like semi-final footy. The reaction from a lot of Americans, some big names who are watching or are in attendance, spreading the love online. And I just think it was the most significant happening in our game since 1980 when Origin was introduced to us. And I think, you know, the ratings have since come out from both here and abroad. And while it wasn't what we expected abroad, there's only something like 61,000 Americans watched it on Fox Sports 1. I don't think we can be discouraged from that because it is a 5-year plan and the ripples that we've made in this water are going to be forever flowing. And I think you look at Fox Sports, biggest ratings ever for an NRL game. Channel 9 was 800,000 on the, you know, they're both incredible numbers from both our media partners. So in that way, it's a success. And what it will do now, Liam, I think is that the 13 other clubs who weren't part of this voyage will now look for their ticket next time it goes over because they'll be lining up saying, I want a part of Vegas because it didn't look like any. Every time we'd do a cross to Vegas, it was like they couldn't hear each other speaking on the ground in the panels. They couldn't hear it. The ground was like shaking. An hour before the game, I was watching Jimmy Graham on some social media, and he almost got blown away. There was 100 kilometer winds. They closed the roof, and all of a sudden, we had a perfect scenario for rugby league. Not once did I hear anyone complain about the size of the field, which was a little bit smaller than we're used to. The first game in particular was just one of them things. You bottle it up and you say, okay, let's sell that to everyone who wants a piece of it because Manly and South put on a show, 60 points, and it wasn't just a touch footy game. It was some massive hits out there.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, so it was overall. I agree with you. I think I'm listening to long standing rugby league journos like the Bulldog Richies of the world and the Buzz Rothfields of the world saying it's the most profound thing they've ever been a part of, and you've got to listen to that because they've been around for everything.
Yeah, a couple of things you just said there. Peter Vellandi's made sure that all the bosses of the other 13 teams, as well as the four that were playing, were over there. On the bottom level, which is where the elite suites were, which apparently for the Super Bowl cost $2 million a lounge area, Vellandi's and Abdo and Lachlan Murdoch, and they had all the bosses sat in there, and all these bosses had an area, and they were all experiencing exactly what it would be like if their team was playing. So you talk about them lining up. I can guarantee you they've already lined up. They have already made their pitches. They've made their bids. They all want to be there next year. That is without a doubt. And that's where it's going to be really important that Peter and Andrew announce it early, right? Because Las Vegas is an expensive place.
Yes.
And this is not just an easy trip for fans to make. I spoke to plenty of fans who told me that, yeah, we've saved up for this.
It's about 14,000 Aussies were in attendance and about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to get the breakdown of how many locals were there as well. But that's all by the by. I just think the fact that our season was kicked off in such grand way mm-hmm. in a grand fashion was just it blew everyone's mind, in particular Volandi's. I think Volandi's mind was blown, and now the second round it's round two upon us, but it's the continuation of round one. It's amazing.
Look, Vegas, big tick, MG. You and I next year there live. I think we need to kick off MG's rugby league rundown with a Vegas edition.
I've got a sneaking suspicion both Penrith and Melbourne will be there next year.
You want my prediction? Penrith, Melbourne, Dolphins, and the Warriors. They're your four teams for Vegas 2025.
You heard it here first.
The Storm, the Panthers, the Warriors, and the Dolphins. Those are the teams that will be represented. We'll see how that pans out. There was one ugly incident off the weekend, and when you consider Vegas and rugby league, you thought there could have been a lot more. Sadly, there was one really ugly incident, and that is the Spencer Lienu, Ezra Mam situation. It's been well documented. MG, what is your take on this situation as it stands at the moment?
It was a thunderous postscript, wasn't it? We kind of were hoping and praying that we'd just get through this weekend unscathed, but it wasn't to be, because in the second game we saw something unfold that was unsatisfactory, if proven to be correct. Obviously, I don't want to say too much about the matter, because I think it's been played out way too much in the open forum as it is to be. And the last thing I want is for a player of our game not to be given a fair, inverted commas, trial. I want him to, you know, to have the total assurance that when he sits down in front of the judiciary, that they're not tainted by anything they've been reading or heard people saying. And I don't want to be one of them people who mm-hmm. taint the landscape because of what we say. But I do say this, that if it is found that he is guilty, then I think we have no place whatsoever in our game for racism. And I think everyone knows that. I think that once we hear from them next Tuesday, I believe, in the judiciary, I think it's going to be one of them grand. I think it's one of them groundbreaking moments in the game where we'll have to see. I'd love this. I would like to think that the NRL would think about putting cameras in on this to see the process play out. I want to see exactly what went down. A lot of us have assumptions going on, and but look, it's not a we've grown too much of as a game to allow something like this to happen if it's true. Say that's the last thing I'll say. But on the other hand, if they can't prove it, then Spencer's name's been dragged through the mud for no reason as well. So I can see both sides of the argument. Yep. If guilty, there's no place for racism. If innocent, well, he's owed an apology.
Well said, MG. I'm not going to ask you to expand further on it, because, as you say, we need to kind of let the process run its course. What I would say, though, a couple of things just observationally and talking to people off the back of it who've asked me about it. It's a difficult situation. I'm a white guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Spencer Lienu, being of Samoan heritage, Ezra mm-hmm. Mam is a Torres Strait Islander.
Yep.
I don't know what the rules are within the world and way that how they can speak to one another, right? Yep. And I'm just being honest about that. I don't understand, so I don't want to, you know, comment on what's okay and what's not okay. What I don't like seeing at the moment is the criticism that Trent Robinson's copping.
Yeah.
I mean, Robbo has a duty of
care. Yeah, for
Robbo,
player.
First and foremost, he's a human, and he's got a duty, you know, and Robbo's a stand-up guy. I don't think you'd hear too many people that say a bad word about Trent Robinson.
No.
I don't like seeing him copping negative and criticism because essentially trying to protect his player.
No, every coach would do the same thing. Ricky Stewart would do the same thing. Ivan Cleary would do the same thing.
You know,
every coach would do exactly what Trent Robinson did. That's his job.
Lienu is found guilty of this, I don't think it makes Trent Robinson a supporter of racism.
No.
Because he has tried to assist his player in this situation. I hate seeing that. I hate reading that. Mm. And I spoke to Robbo before the game on the weekend. He's a wonderful guy and who's got time for everybody. And I think he does great things for rugby league. So I really don't like reading that. On the other side of it, I think Andrew Abdo and Peter Volandis and the integrity and everyone are in a really difficult position because we saw the incident with Latrell Mitchell at Penrith last year. And they are trying to stamp it out of the game from a fan level. And if now they found ourselves in a situation like this, it's a really hard line to toe if there's not some sort of punishment. You know what
can
I mean?
Tell me why can you tell me why it's taken until next Tuesday to let the process unveil?
No.
Why not get back and get stuck into it and get out of the way one way or the other so we can get on with this weekend? Now this weekend's got a big black cloud hanging over it.
Yep. I agree.
And it's not going to be till next Tuesday that we find out exactly what's happening. Well, that's
exactly.
Kind of
so guess what you and I are talking about next week on this?
Yep.
Spencer Lynn's punishment or lack thereof, you know?
Yep.
Anyway.
That's right.
Let's move on. We've got to look into the rest of the games of round one.
Yep.
But as much as people are sick of reading about season predictions, the point is they haven't gotten yours, MG. You're the Wild Panther. You are the best tipper in the media business. That is fact. That is undeniable. That is inarguable. So I want to hear some 2024 predictions, please. Let's start with a team to slide. Which team have you got sliding in 2024?
If we look at last year's ladder, I think some overachievers were probably the Sharkies. Sharkies and Knights probably in the same basket. They both finished fifth and sixth respectively. I'm not sure they'll both finish that. I've got both of them teams finishing out of the eight this year. So to answer your question, the Knights and the Sharks are going to be my sliders. And conversely, the teams to rise, I think, the Roosters finished seventh last year. I've got them in the top two this year. I think they'll play Panthers in the grand final, the Roosters. I think Manly will come up from... They were 12th last year, weren't they? I think they'll be in the top eight, probably 7th or 8th. And I think South Sydney, once Jack Whiten's back, they're maybe a Ford or two weak. Bit like what I saw from the Broncos. I don't really think they'll make the top four, the Broncos. I think they're going to be a bit of a slider themselves because I think the losses of Flegler and Farnworth and Capel and Palacia... are going to be detrimental. What I saw on the weekend, it was only game one. Let's emphasise it's game
lot
one.
Lot to go,
But the go forward in every rugby league team is the most vital element you've got. And Broncos last year relied on that from their big men, and that was to allow Reynolds and Mam and Walsh to do all their things. But as soon as young Piacora got head knocked and Carrigan had to go to the centres, they had no oomph. They just had nothing. They had no plan B. So I feel that they might struggle somewhat this year, the Broncos, but again, we'll wait and see.
So we're throwing out Sharks, Knights and the Broncos sliders, and then to rise, you've got Roosters, Manly and South. So they're your risers.
Yep.
Now you've hinted...
I think the Cowboys will make the eight as well.
Now you're hinting at... you gave us your grand final in there as well. You jumped the gun and gave us Penrith v. the Roosters.
Yes.
I like that. So who rounds out that top four with the Panthers and the Chookies?
I really don't know at this stage. I probably think South might make it the top four. I think I think the Warriors are going to be in the top four. I think the Warriors, with Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, I like what the Warriors have got. I think they're going to be better because they're
last year
together.
At the Waz for Fanu and Blake as well.
Yes, and that's kind of similar to the Roosters. You know, they're losing a lot of high caliber players next year. This is kind of their last window of opportunity before they kind of repool their resources and go again. So
it feels like a do it for Jared Warrior Hargreaves year, doesn't it?
Joey Manu and and Anthony Tupu on the wing possibly. So there's Joseph Suwali. Look, there's some reasons for the Roosters to have a juggernaut of a season. I think they will.
So you're a man who's played the game at the highest level in all arenas, and you've won tipping comps since you've become a media pundit. Your credentials are unquestioned. I don't have to worry about my reputation in this frame, so I can get a little bit loosey-goosey.
You can.
I'm just going to give you, this is sort of one bold prediction wrapped up in a narrative, if you'd like.
Oh, the narrative.
MG?
Yep.
2024 is the Chinese year of the what? Do you know what it is?
Is it the dragon?
It is the dragon.
Yep.
Now, the dragons are shit, so it's not going to be there. But what's the next closest animal to a dragon in the NRL?
A raider?
An eel.
An eel?
MG, an eel. Let me lay it out for you.
Go for it, please.
Last year, they finished 10th.
Yep.
And it couldn't have gone worse. You had Reggie, you had Junior Barlo, probably had as bad a year as they could have. They were not good up forward for the boys. We had injuries to Mitch Moses. I think Sean Lane missed a bit of footy as well.
Josh Hodson out all year.
He's gone. He's retired. We don't worry about him anymore. And, of course, you had the Dylan Brown off-field stuff.
Yep.
I think Dylan Brown, as he should, has grown up. He had to grow up. And he owned his mistakes, right? And he's paying the price for them. And this is in no way me trying to defend what Dylan Brown did last year. But I think he has faced his NRL mortality in a sense. I think he's realised that he's only got a short time to make the most of his career, and we know how talented he is.
Yep.
Then we look at a bloke who I think is going to win the Dally M medal this year, Mitchell Moses.
Okay, wow.
29 years of age. He got a taste of State of Origin last year as well. And I think he knows that his career is closer to the end than it was the beginning. And I think he looks at the time is right for him to make hay. And Clint Gutherson, we know what we're going to get out of Gutho. Mitch Moses, so going back to him, you know what happened a couple of months ago, MG?
What happened?
He got married.
Yep. Had a baby.
He had a baby. He got married. Yep. I think Mitch Moses, we're about to see the best version of Mitchell Moses. In 2022, when they made the grand final, it was Mitch Moses' best year. Yep. Although he was the 2019 Dally M player, the halfback of the year.
Halfback of the year, yep.
2022, he was at his best, and Parramatta went on to make the grand final against Penrith. Now, they didn't get there because they came up against the best team of the last two decades, probably, in the Penrith Panthers. But this year, I think, and here's my big, bold narrative, right? Your grand final is the Battle of the West. It's been the best rivalry in the game, I reckon, for the last 3-4 years. And you get Penrith shooting for a record fourth consecutive premiership against a Parramatta side trying to defend the reputation of that 1980s side, who also won the 3 grand finals on the trot. They wheel out all the legends, Sturlo and Kenny and all, and they wheel out all the legends from that era, and you get one of the ultimate grand finals, and you see Parramatta win the whole thing.
Well, you know what? It's a good fable. I like it. I'd buy the book.
See the movie, right?
I'd go see the movie. I'd go see it. I haven't got Parramatta in my 8, but because of the simple fact, for the simple reason that their acquisitions in the off-season were kind of minimal. But they're one injury away from having no depth. That's the only problem with that. You need players coming through nipping at your heels to give other players in the top grade just a little bit of a nudge along, saying, well, you know what, that young kid's coming through, I better pull my socks up. If you know no one's coming through, sometimes a little bit of complacency just creeps into your game. And that's what I found with Parramatta over the last few years. So I think their lack of depth has been their Achilles heel.
More reason, MG?
Brad Arthur?
I don't know if you, that's what I was going to say. I don't know if you saw the reports. When Wayne Bennett missed out on the New Zealand job, the reports instantly turned to, could Wayne Bennett move to the Eels in a coaching, overseeing role? Not as the head coach.
If you put Bennett in there, is that there all of a sudden I'm agreeing with you?
I think Brad Arthur will, you'll never meet a more determined Brad Arthur than you will in this season, because he'll want to show the higher ups, I don't need Wayne Bennett here. You don't need to go and spend to get Wayne Bennett to look over my shoulder and be, you know, double checking every decision I make. I can coach this team to a comp. I can coach this team to a grand final. I can coach him to a premiership.
Yeah, well, he's the incumbent. So he's got everything in front of him. He's got everyone thinking that he, you know, obviously Parramatta fans would be loving what you're saying about that. I want to see it.
I'm just playing to the masses, MG, because if you, although I have had some people hit me up and say, we remember your Cowboys prediction from last year. So, you know, I'm just saying.
Well, you have been accurate.
Let's rip into the round. Come on, let's talk about some footy. Obviously, Manly got it done over the Bunnies and the Roosters got it done over the Broncos. So they've both got wins on the board. Now we get stuck into the rest of round one. Knights, Raiders in Newcastle. What do you think?
Intriguing battle. If you go back to the finals last year when the Knights knocked the Raiders out, the Knights are pretty pronounced favourites in this. $1.42, Raiders $2.90. I like the $2.90 on the Raiders in this one. Cogger, the new player from Penrith who's gone up there, is on the bench. The Pommy import, Kai Pierce-Paul, is on the bench as well. For the Raiders, you've got young Ethan Strange, won the 5/8 battle over Keo Weeks, who will be the 18th man. Zach Hoskins is he's in the top grade as well. He made the team with Morgan Smith. He's the English import in the back row. So, look, I think in Newcastle, first game, 8 o'clock on Thursday, I think it's going to be a sellout. I think Newcastle will be too strong, but I like this Raiders. The Raiders have the look at that look about them this year that they could do some things in the competition that could upset all the top four teams. And don't be surprised if they make a late charge this season. I think the Raiders for a top four berth.
This is probably the battle of the least star-studded halves pairing in the game. You've got the workmen of Tyson Gamble and Jackson Hastings taking on Ethan Strange stepping into the six with no Jack Whiten and Jamal Fogarty. So, you know, it's not exactly Jerome Luai and Nathan Cleary taking on Adam Reynolds and Ezra Mann. But look, it's going to be, I like it as a Thursday night fixture for the Novocastrians. Then we get to Friday. This is the first of the two games on the Friday. It's the Waz hosting the Sharks.
Warriors are that team again that you know they're going to be there. You know they're going to be there. Andrew Webster, their coach, is going to be a long-term career coach. You look at fullback and there's no Charles Klokstad. There's a young kid called Tuapiki. I thought maybe that they would have put Tuivasa-Sheck back there and maybe put someone into the centres like Adam Pompey or something like that, but he's adamant that he wants Roger Tuivasa-Sheck to play centre, and I think the fullback for Roger's gone. You've got to be a lot fitter than he was when he left for Union, and I think they've realised the fact that he's going to be most damaging in the centres, and I like that because they've made a statement. Then you look at their back line, and their back three of Jackson Ford, Kurt Capewell and Tohu Harris.
Yeah.
I mean, Capewell is a fantastic signing for them because it's come out of nowhere. And you look at the players who didn't make their top 17, Jazz Tavega, Tamari Martin, and Adam Pompey's on his 18th man. They've got Dylan Walker, Bunny Afoa, Freddie Lussick and Tom Ayle on the bench. I like their bench. As for the Sharkies, well, obviously the Warriors will start pronounced favourites in this one. They do at $1.55 compared to the Sharks $2.45. And if you look at the Sharkies, they haven't been that productive in the offseason as far as buys go. I think Billy Burns from the Dragons, they're only off-field signing. But look, it's still a good-looking team. It's a flamboyant team with Kennedy at fullback and Talakai and Ramian in the centres, and they've got both their wingers can score tries from everywhere. It's their forwards that have the question mark over them and the lack of depth in their forwards. But Warriors for mine in this one. Warriors for mine, and to do it pretty comfortably, I think.
Storm hosting the three-time champions of the NRL world, the Penrith Panthers, second game Friday night, Melbourne Park. I love, before you get to it, and I know you're going to tip your Panthers, but how good is it to see Melbourne Storm team named with Ryan Pappenhausen at fullback to start a season?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Seeming, watching the trial games, in particular watching him, It's just a feel-good story. Everyone loves Pappenhausen. There's not one person I speak to in the game that doesn't love Ryan Pappenhausen. And for him to be at fullback in this game is a fantastic for him. A lot of doubt over Cameron Munster. Nelson Asofa-Solomona is out. He won't be playing due to an injury, so that's a big plus for Penrith. Munster hurt his groin, I believe, when they went over for a trial game against the Newcastle Knights in Fiji in the shower. A la Tommy Turbo. So, look, the odds for the Storm are pretty juicy at 235. When you consider that they've won every first round game in the last 21 years that Craig Bellamy's been their coach. So, Jerome Luai is rumoured to be back. He will have a fitness test today, I think, sometime this afternoon. Mitch Kenny is out, which means Luke Somerton gets the number 9 jersey. Yeah, look, it's a formidable Panther. The Panthers thing is that they lose Crichton, who's probably been their biggest loss, I think, in the last 4 years. New Bulldogs captain. We'll get to him in a minute, which is kind of left field, but I think he'll relish it. But then comes back Taylor May, who I think has gotten bigger. He's strong. So, yeah, look, obviously I think the Panthers will win, but I don't think they'll have their own way because they've got to break a lot of hoodoos to get the win down in Melbourne in this first round. But Penrith by a field goal.
While we're here, I love that. While we're here, can we just stop down and talk about the number 22 for the Panthers on the amongst the reserves?
Yes.
Mav Geyer. He's getting closer. He's also rolling with a new profile pick, which I'm enjoying. He's got the fatherly stubble rolling in this photo. How's he travelling? How's his preseason been?
Preseason's been enormous. It's the first one he's done the first time he's been in the top 30 this preseason, and it's the first time he hasn't missed one training session in the last 3 years that he's been part of the makeup of the Jersey flag and the New South Wales Cup, and now hopefully first grade in New South Wales Cup. So he's going good, mate. He's plugging along. He's a good kid, and if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If it doesn't, well, I don't think it's the end of the world because he just loves his footy. And
he's given himself every chance by the sound of it. So,
of course,
fingers crossed. I think that whenever it is and wherever it is, I think I might have to fly down so I can witness it because it'd be something I'd love to see. Righto, we get into Saturday footy. Parramatta, who will be champions, taking on the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, led by their new captain, Stephen Crichton.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it? By far the most productive in the offseason, the Bulldogs, and seven of their new recruits have made the 17 for this game. Taff and Crichton and Hutchinson gets the number 7 job over Toby Sexton. Farmer Sealy from the Dolphins makes their back line look their back row look even stronger. He'll come off the bench, I would imagine. Or no, he's in the front row. So Jamin Salmon's playing lock, and Kurt Mann and Josh Curran will be on the bench. It's going to take a while for that team to gel. They're kind of the bits and pieces type outfit of having 7 new players from your team last year. It's going to take some time to get some cohesion and game plan. That's where I think the Parramatta Eels in this game will be way too strong. They look settled. They look formidable. They look like a strong team. Their forward pack is one of the best in the competition, in my view, with Campbell, Gillard and Paulo up front, Sean Lane, Bryce Cartwright and Jermaine Hopgood. Joey Lussick is very underrated. He's a dynamo out of dummy half. He can tackle his ass off. And you got young Brendan Hands on the bench who can come on for him. Ryan Madison's on the bench with Joe Offen and Gowie and Tuolagi. Ogden didn't even make the 17. So they're going okay in that department. I think Parramatta will be too strong for the Bulldogs.
Titans, the mighty Titans, whoa, taking on the Dragons. I mean, thank you, NRL fixture, for the first round easy visit. Maybe it's not so easy. The Ben Hunt Cup, as it were. We thought Benny Hunt might be wearing Titans blue and yellow this year, but he's not.
I think with Desi Hasler obviously being the coach, that's the biggest off-season signing that the Titans have had. He's going to institute some really special type of defence and grit, which he's made to do. And I think people like Tino Fasua Malawi is going to be the biggest beneficiary of that. Look, it's a bit like we spoke about with Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. With no Jaden Campbell, they've gone with Keeney at fullback instead of AJ Brimson. So he's obviously said to AJ Brimson, mate, your fullback days are over. Yeah. As long as I'm coaching, you're going to be in the centres. And
game number 100 for AJ this weekend too.
And I like that. I like that he's made that point, and AJ can now get that out of his head that he's going to be fullback. And when Campbell comes back, he'll settle in beautifully. Fifita looks, they look a little bit skinny in the forward pack, but then Bo Fermor, who wasn't there for most of the last season, finds his way back in there as well. So the Dragons, well, he's gone on record, Shane Flanagan, saying we're not really concerned about 2024. It's more about 2025. And I don't know if I'm a Dragons fan, I want to hear that, because that could be a bit of a smother or just could be a way of deflecting. But either way, I think you've got to say to your fan group, and even if it's tongue-in-cheek, that we want to win every game we play in 2024.
Yeah.
And this is a game they can win, the Dragons, definitely. They've got the team. They haven't really got the roster, but it's building. They're getting players. I think Leilua, should be in town shortly to take up his jersey for the Dragons. So saying all that, I think because it's at Cbus, they're $1.52, the Titans. Dragons are $2.55, and I think the Titans will register their first victory of the season against the mighty Dragons.
You know what? I was going to say allow me to indulge myself, but stuff it. No one's going to stop me. I'm a Titan supporter. I want to talk about them for just a moment.
Go for it.
I love that Chris Randall has won the fight for the number 9 and Sammy Verrills is going to come off the 14. I think Sam Verrills probably moved up going, well, I've got this. Mm. And Chris Randall has fought for it, won it, and Dez has gone with him. So Sam comes off the bench as a 14, which I think is really handy. And looking at Khan Barrera, I think wins the try scoring this year. I think he will cross a lot.
Yep.
You mentioned Tino and the benefits that he's going to get out of Dez being coach. I couldn't agree more, MG, and I think it's that leadership. Tino tried to carry too much last year.
Yes, he did.
Every time the team was down, he tried to win it. And you saw how deflated and knackered he was in post-game press conferences because he was carrying too much.
Yep.
And I think Dez will
relieve him from that burden.
Yep. So, all right, last game to get through, and what a game at Suncorp Stadium on Sunday afternoon. The Finns, the greatest story of last year's season for the first half, at least until Penrith went on to win their third straight. They come in, devastating news for Tom Gilbert. Some players just don't deserve that sort of luck, and he is one in particular. You don't want to see any player injured, but with what he went through last year at Origin with the shoulder, now to suffer this ACL injury, it really is devastating, and it hurts their forward pack as well that takes on a Cowboys team who will be looking to rebuild their brand after missing the finals last year.
Yeah, very well said. I think everything you said there I concur with. I think that the Dolphins were the success story of our competition last year. I think they aspired other teams around them to play better. Everyone thought that the Dolphins will come in and take 3 or 4 years to hit the ground running. Well, they were on top of the competition after 4 or 5 rounds, and they didn't look like they were going to slow down at any stage. They just had so much momentum. But they did in the end. I think that's what's going to stop them this year. I think the ageing forward pack with Bromwich and Kafusi, and they've got Ray Stone playing number 13. They've got Kenny
Mark
Bromwich
Nichols.
Coming off the bench. Mark Nichols, Josh Kerr's no spring chicken anymore. Jared Wallace couldn't even make the 17. Jake Arevalo is number 19. So they've got some depth, which is, look, then you throw in Farnworth and Flegler from the Broncos. I worry about their halves in Nikorima and O'Sullivan.
Yeah, interesting that Katoa didn't get picked, right?
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with young Katoa, unless he's injured.
He's fit. He's available.
Okay, yeah, well, he must have had the off-season. For those early rounds, for those listening to this podcast, if you see someone in your team that was a regular there last year but didn't force their way maybe into the 17, it's all because of what they've done on the training track. If you haven't hit goals and you haven't hit the targets that you were supposed to hit, well, they only can gauge it on that type of merit because you haven't played any games of rugby league yet. So purely on what you've done in the off-season, that's what you get rewarded for in these early 2 or 3 games. So, yeah, look, I like what you said about the Cowboys trying to reinvent themselves. They are, because for not to make the 8 last year and to finish 11th, that was something that you didn't expect. Oh, you did. You predicted it. I know that. But they haven't had much of a turnover of players either. They've still got the same type of players who are playing for them this year, but they lost big Helium Lukey last year early with a knee injury. I like him as a prospect. He's about 6'5". He's a tall, lanky thing who can offload, and he's got a good running style. Reuben Cotter, who's been made co-captain with Tommy Dearden, I think that's a good move. I think that's going to put a real big rocket up Taumalolo. And Scott Drinkwater in the back line speaks for themselves with Murray Tuilagi and young Labert, who's come of age playing for New Guinea, and Val Holmes. Kyle Felt speaks for himself. So, intriguing battle. Pronounced favourites are the Cowboys paying $1.50, Dolphins $2.60. I lean towards the Cowboys in this one.
Yeah. You know, Taumalolo's still got 4 years left on that deal.
Yeah, I know. But he is the cautionary tale about signing someone for 10 years, no matter how good they're going at the time.
Mm.
And I hope that doesn't happen to Tino.
No.
But I think there is some similarities between the two players that, you know, you sign someone the objective of signing some players to long-term contracts is how do you keep them hungry? How do you stay hungry when you know that the next 9 years of your life you've been set up for forever? Mm. It's very hard as a sportsman to have long-term deals and still maintain the same ferocity.
All right, there it is. The round one preview edition of MG's Rugby League Rundown in the books. If you missed it, just recapping. MG's got the Knights to edge the dangerous Raiders at McDonald Jones Stadium in Newcastle. He favours the Wars over the Sharks. He's got the Panthers to beat the Storm by a field goal. He likes the Eels over the Bulldogs, the Titans to nudge the Dragons, and the Cowboys to beat the Dolphins. West Tigers fans, enjoy your week one bye. We cannot wait to see you in week two with all the work that Benji has put in. MG, if I could hug you through this screen, I would, mate. It's great to see you back. You've looked like you've had one of your best pre-seasons in a while. You're rippling through that shirt. You look incredible. I'll see you next week.
Love you too. Thanks for listening.